Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And today, we are going to continue our Reading the Bible Personally and Corporately series, talking today about the purpose of hearing the Word in a personal Bible reading. Let's talk about first about hearing the Word of God. In fact, the easiest spiritual discipline that we can talk about, if there is one, is just this. It's hearing the Word of God. We are to develop a regular habit of attending church where God's Word is regularly and faithfully preached. In Luke 11:28, Jesus says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." And so merely listening to God-inspired words is not the point. Hearing the Word should lead to obedience to the commands of God, which leads to Christ's likeness. And this is what Paul says in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. While this verse is teaching about initial faith, we need this kind of faith day to day. We need to hear about God's provision that may aid a family to trust the Lord with and through their difficult financial situation, and perhaps even hearing a Bible-based sermon on the love of Christ may lead to having a greater assurance to a downcast believer. So listen, I plead with you, to the Word preached in your local church. Perhaps even download podcasts like this one or sermons. Today you can take sermons with you through your smartphone, laptop, MP3 player, and so on and so forth. God's Word has never been as portable as it is today, both as audible and written format. So take advantage of the technology available to you. All around us are messages that are inundating our hearts and our minds, that are vying for our affections and confronting our worldview. The question is not whether we are being impacted by these messages. The real question is whether we are hearing those messages and then believing them. See, Jesus tells us repeatedly that what bubbles up from our lives begins in our hearts and moves outward from there in Luke 6:45. What we input into our lives will make its way into our hearts. That's why we need to be so careful about what we hear, what we read from Scripture, because there's false gospels and messages out there that are going to lead and are leading people away from God and away from His Word and away from God Himself. One teacher would have us believe that Jesus' death in our place and for our sin is cosmic treason. Other teachers would have us believe that there's no such thing as Adam being a real person who lived in real history. And yet the Bible in Romans 5:12-21 teaches that Adam is indeed a real person who lived in real history, so that we listen to those teachers that teach against what Scripture says. And how about we ask the question, how about those on TV? Many prominent televangelists today are nothing more than people who want to have others to pay them for their opinions, to pay them for the blessing and the privilege of knowing God. And yet the Bible says the final and the full cost of our salvation is not in giving somebody money at all. It is actually in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, His once and for all sacrifice on the cross in our place and for our sin, and how He rose again. And so we must understand that messages that we hear can and do shape our lives. And whether we're hearing that message or we're reading a message, we must be like the people in Acts 17:11, those Bereans who searched the Scriptures to see if these things are so. True discernment is not opposed to searching or to using our minds. True discernment uses the mind and all the faculties and all the resources given to us so that we can obey His command in the Great Commission. You see, what we hear is and will become a reflection of what we love. I say that I love my wife, but the question is, do I listen to her when she talks? Do I put my smartphone away, and do I pay attention to her and value her words, value her input, show that not just in my words, but in my actions that I love her? And yet, in a similar way, many of us do the same with God. We say that we love the Lord, and we treat his word as if it's just another book of fairy tales and myths that fills our bookshelves, and we never open it. We never read it. And we don't understand that the Lord in his word is revealing himself to us. And so, as has been said, if you want to know God, you must read his word. And if you want to hear him speak out loud, you must read his word out loud. There's no other way to know the Lord than to know him as he is revealed in the Word of God. And this is so, so important, because all around us, we're confronted by a 24/7 news cycle that inundates us with information of all sorts, of all kinds. We get messages on lust, messages on the nastiness of our society, and so on and so forth. See, true Christians, though, they're not against using the newspaper or the TV to gain information, but our first and our primary thing that we should be about is we need to get in the Word of God. We need to have a biblical worldview. And to do that, we have to hear from God. We have to be in the Word of God to hear and to know God. True Christians are to have a genuine desire to hear from God through his word. In fact, Christians long to hear from God, both privately and corporately, because of Christ, who has placed within them new desires through the new birth to hunger and thirst for the final revelation that is contained in his word. And his word testifies of the redemption of Christ as won for them. And so to cultivate a longing for more of God, we must be in the word of God. We need the word of God. If we say that we love the Lord and we don't have any genuine desire for the word, or we never have a longing to hear from God in his word, how can we say that we love the Lord? True Christians love what God loves, and God loves his word and his local church. Now, we need to understand this, because I'm not trying to guilt trip you into reading the Bible. Rather, I'm trying to get you to understand that it's because you love the Lord, you say you love the Lord, right, as a Christian man, then you need to put it into a practice, because all around you are messages that run contrary to the Word of God. And the Word of God is to filter. It is the foundation for our lives. And so we need the Word of God. We need to prioritize the Word of God. We need to prioritize the Word of the Lord in our lives. We who have been born again should long for the perfect Word in Scripture, because it tells of the great and the grand story of redemption, that Christ has won the day and is soon returning. Everywhere throughout redemptive history, Christ is ruling and reigning, orchestrating good for us in evil and challenging times. He is conforming us in those times into the image of God through the day's challenges, through life's circumstances, and so on and so forth. We must hear the voice of God in his word to face challenges and grow in his word. It's not enough to just say, well, I know this, Dave, but if I ask you, how are you doing at this in your life? Then you might get very quiet. Our lives must reflect a hunger for what God loves. God loves his word. He longs for his people to hear from him, to heed what he has said, to obey his voice. James 1:26 is concerned on this point, because James doesn't want us just to be hearers only. He wants us to be doers of the word, the implanted word, which is talked about previously. You see, we don't have absolute freedom. We're doubly owned by God as Christians. Paul tells us that we are bondservants of Christ throughout his epistles. A bondservant doesn't live for themselves. They do what their master says. Our master is Jesus. He has set his love on us, not first our love upon him. It's because his love was set upon you and me that we can love God, because he's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Without that, there is no way for us to love God. We can be like Samuel, flittering about in the wind, wondering, how do I hear from God? But we don't need to be like that. And even more so, we need to understand that God has spoken in the 66 books of the Word of God, and we can know the voice of God because he has spoken finally and fully in the 66 books of Scripture. We can trust what God has said because behind the Word of God is God himself. He is faithful, true, trustworthy, holy, good, and unchanging. But the local church, as we will see in this series, is where we are to hear from the Lord. But it's not also only in the local church where we are to hear from God, as we'll see here in this portion of our series, in the first part of it. The Lord also wants us to personally read his word. It's in his word that he's fully revealed himself in Scripture so that we know it. In fact, one of the most significant things that we have need to understand is that we need to get in our Bibles. In fact, you might have decided at the beginning of this year that you were going to read your Bible. You were going to open it, to read it, to consider it. And perhaps you got stuck in Leviticus, or perhaps one of the books of history, or so on and so forth. If that's you, go ahead and flip to the book of John and start there and read in the Gospels, and then move from there out and start reading the epistles, and then start reading Genesis and so on and so forth. And perhaps even with that encouragement, you find yourself discouraged. You feel like life is caving in on you. One of the many reasons that you feel like you're suffocating is that you're not reading the word. You're suffocating like you do from a lack of food and water. Except this is spiritually. You are longing, your soul is longing for food that can only come from the word of God. You see, as Christians, we have been given a book, the Bible. It's not one of fairy tales and myths. The Word of God is living water to the redeemed, bread of life to the hungry, a treasure to all who call on the name of the Lord. In John 7:37 through 38, Jesus teaches this truth about being the living water. And in John 6:35, he states that he is the bread of life. Christians are to seek after the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their mind, and with all their strength. And they are to delight in the Lord, who delights in them now in and through Christ. You see, reading the Bible is not something that we are to do, to just check off and to say, you know what, this is just something that I'm doing to gain God's approval, as if we could ever gain God's approval anyway. We can't. The only way that we can be approved to God is through the finished and sufficient work of Christ on our behalf. He really did bleed and he really did rise in our place and for our sins. So I call this a delightful duty. And the reason is the psalmists again and again, they talk about, use the language of delight to help us to capture this. It's a delight to get to know God. God has revealed himself in his word. And so we should delight in what God delights. God delights over his word. He delights over his son. And he delights over us, his beloved. And so we should love what God loves. And so God loves his word. He loves himself. In fact, in the inner Trinitarian fellowship, it was out of the inner Trinitarian fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that God made us. Genesis 1:26 tells us, in his image and in his likeness. And so God didn't have a need of us, and yet out of his Trinitarian love, out of the abundance of his love, he created us in his image and in his likeness. And so God has intimate delights between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is so vital to understand. And the reason that I bring it up is because, not to confuse you or to talk down to you, but to show you that even within the Godhead, God is self-existing. He is eternal. And yet he, within the Godhead, he delights, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each in each other and in their various roles and mission and purpose, all to help us to grow in his grace and in the knowledge of his word. And even out of this understanding, he gave us his word, that he inspired, that he gave to us so that we would know who he is and what he's like and how he sent forth his son to under the sentence of death to bleed and to die and to rise, and how he sends the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to empower us, to convict us, to and so on and so forth. And so this is a delight. It's a delight to get to know God as he has revealed himself in his word. We have need to get into more into his word and to study it, to mine its treasures, to get to know this God. And how are we going to do this if we don't get into the Bible, the word of God, that God delights over, and he delights over us, and he has given us this book to read. And so we need to understand this motivation. This should motivate us. And what this does is it also takes us well past the idea that, you know, Bible reading is a duty. It's just something that we can check off, and so that we should just do it. No, it helps us to understand the reason why. It helps you to understand the reason why, so that, you know, when you feel like, you know what, this is becoming just another thing, we remind ourselves, no, God has given us this book, and I'm to delight over it because God delights now over me because of Christ. And so what I want to urge you to do is, because of this understanding that I've laid out here so far, please pick up your Bible, men, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do, you'll find yourself not only growing in your understanding of God's word, but also that your heart and your mind are daily thinking on what is noble, pure, and good, holy, and just. There's nothing better for you than to joyfully delight in the Lord through the daily discipline of Bible reading. Let's talk briefly here as we wrap up about reading the Bible with the church, and it's a topic that we'll come back to in the next few weeks, but here's the opening salvo on it. Bible reading, meditation, journaling, and weighty in context, not physically so, but per se, but theological book reading are crucial and quite individualistic. But the Apostle Paul says this in his letter to Timothy, "Until I come, says the Apostle Paul, knowing that his death is imminent and seizing perhaps the opportunity to give direction to the church for the centuries ahead, further encourage Christians to give attention in the NASB or to devote in the NIV to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." It's clear what Paul wants done in the assembly of the church. He wants Scripture read. The practice of the synagogues was to unroll the scrolls of Scripture, read a portion, mark where they stopped, and then next Sabbath, pick up again where they left off. And while there is a place for your personal, passionate pursuit of God, the Bible was never meant to be solely a private endeavor. The Word of God has always been a community treasure. These books, these letters, these stories, these poems, these laws, these prophecies are meant to be read out loud. It is the call upon the people of God to worship him through his word, recounted and recited within the context of the biblical community. So hearing and even reading the word of God is essential for the Christian life. And so not only are Christians to hear the word of God, they are to read the word of God daily. And as we continue to read the word of God every day, we hear the voice of God in all the scripture. As Martin Luther said, when scripture speaks, God speaks. And so we are to read the scripture to hear the voice of God through the biblical text. Well, I want to thank you for listening or even watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast on the purpose of hearing the word of God and personal Bible reading. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.